Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I pulled into BOA where everybody hangs ahead. Rule needs to save ace while his team gets some rest. Hey, Tepper, can you tell me if we're gonna get some help ahead? He just smiled and shook his head, and no was all he said. Take a week off, Maddie. Take a week to think. Take a week off, Panthers. And beat the Falcons in week 14. IR is getting bad. We're looking for a back to ride. When we heard Cam Newton's back, really thought things would be alright. I said, hey, no, man. Why's the D been slowing down? He said that I don't know, 'cause now Jackson's also down. Take a week off, Panthers. Take a week to think. Take a week off losing. And
beat the Falcons in week 14.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet, the third listen of the Hack Song of the Week. Questionable. Questionable stuff from Hacksaw, but you can send in your grade, 704-570-9610. We've got the Gold Brick Ceremony in 40 minutes. We've got Trey Boston coming up at 1 p.m., just coming up in about 60 minutes here. But in the meantime, we just had Stephen Ruiz of the NFL Ringer Show, or the Ringers NFL Show, which is a weekly podcast. They got the preview coming out this afternoon. And I thought it was interesting. I asked him, you know, what is the best answer to the Panthers quarterback thirst? His answer was Cam Newton. And I asked him that because we've got a game coming up this weekend, coming up tomorrow at Bank of America Stadium with a quarterback that I've already seen people thirsting for in Pitt's Kenny Pickett.
So what you're telling me is you want to hand the keys of the Panthers' future this year with a first round, possibly a top 10 pick, likely a top 10 pick. You want to give a top 10 pick and the keys to the franchise to Kenny Pickett.
Please stop saying you, because I've yet to put it, plant a flag for Pickett, as it were.
So you don't want to pick it for ticket?
I don't want two tickets to Kenny Pickett. Nope. I don't want to. Well, I think the problem with this year is I'm not ready to plant my flag for any of these dudes in the draft yet, because I have not switched gears there. I've not started thinking about that. I've not started watching those guys with that intent. That is what makes the ACC title game so interesting. It is why I plan on going to Bank of America tomorrow to watch it.
Oh, you're scouting tomorrow.
This is a scouting trip.
And you're separating your family again, from what I understand.
I've said, by going to you guys, I'll choose my favorite, and we're going to go scout together. And if she doesn't give me a good scouting report on Kenny Pickett, she's out of the family.
So, okay, let me ask you this. Were you this high, not that you, people, were we this high on Kenny Pickett last year?
No.
Okay.
But I also think there are guys who have had these kind of Herculean jumps.
There are.
Joe Burrow from year one to year two. LSU to year two.
Yes. Would you say that those guys, so in the NFL community, we talk about this during the draft, right? Now I'm going to get into my former scout hat.
That's a nice hat.
So you want to see about 30 starts. 30, 33 starts is kind of the benchmark.
And Kenny Pickett's made about 100.
He has several starts. But what you also want to see is consistency. The one-hit flash in the pan guys make me nervous. And it's really not about is Kenny Pickett an NFL player. Clearly he is. It's about am I using, in the Panthers situation, a top 10 pick on him.
So I think we're talking about Kenny Pickett because the ACC title game's this weekend.
And the owner went to Pitt.
But you could, that also, the Pittsburgh connection. We know Dave Tepper. Matt Rhule likes Temple guys and Baylor guys.
Yeah.
Dave Tepper likes guys who say yins.
And speaking of that, Matt Rhule got the commitment from Kenny Pickett to Temple before he went to
Pitt. As well just pencil him in as the number 10 pick. But I do think, like, you say Kenny Pickett, and I think Malik Willis. I think Malik Cunningham. I think Sam Howell. Like, to me,
Carson Strong in Nevada.
Phil Jurkovich, who is a guy who I think if he had played a full season at Boston College, I think would seriously be in the running for the number one quarterback in this pick.
I don't hate that.
But I kind of view them all, they're all different quarterbacks. They're all with different strengths and weaknesses, and they are different levels of doneness. But listen, guys, I think the quarterback thirst is only going to get worse. Because I don't know that we should expect Cam to bounce back. Because I think he's going to be some average of the two games we've seen. We saw a really good game against Washington. We saw a really awful game against Miami. So if he's the average of that, I don't know they're going to win a lot of games. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty confident that this team is going to win two or less games over the final five games of the season. So the quarterback thirst is just getting started right now. I don't know. Like, to me, it's less about, are you watching Kenny Pickett this weekend as an aim for can he be a top 10 pick? I think it's just getting comfortable with the idea that this guy could be a Panther. Because, like, if you said Kenny Pickett in the second round, and they don't have a second rounder now, so they'd have to work this out.
Right. That makes more sense to me.
I'd make a little bit more comfortable.
That makes sense.
Right? If you said Sam Howell in the second or third round, I would suddenly get a little bit more comfortable with that idea because I wouldn't feel the need to start him right away. I think that's the real scare about quarterback thirst right now, Stan. Which one of these guys are you going to be comfortable with?
I'm more comfortable with Sam Howell.
I mean, when I say more comfortable with, I mean starting day one.
But see, I don't know that they would have to. I think there's a world where even if Cam isn't back with this team next year, that Sam Darnold is probably going to beat out whoever they would draft in this year's class.
So our quarterback thirst is going to lead to Sam Howell versus Sam Darnold. A Sam off.
It could. Now, and then just because you have the number 10 pick, you could trade it back, let somebody else get in, get assets. We can play all those games. We got months to do that. I just don't see any of these quarterbacks. And really, you and I do a really good job of reminding them this could have been avoided.
Mm-hmm. I thought Steven Ruiz was perfect on this. When we asked about, you know, is the rebuild ahead or behind schedule? What did he say? He said,
when did it start?
He said it never started, and he pointed to the stopgap measures they've taken at quarterback.
You could have traded up for Justin Herbert.
You could have taken Justin Fields or Mac Jones. And in fairness, you could have taken Jalen Hurts, who's looked pretty decent, not great, but decent, in Philadelphia.
Also fair.
Any one of those four quarterbacks, and the conversation about where they are is different because the quarterback is at least spoken for, and now it's only on the offensive line.
And that's where I come back. See, this year for the Carolina Panthers, they cannot use that first pick, knowing you don't have a 2 and 3 right now, on a quarterback. It must be one on the trenches, preferably on the offensive line. If it was a defensive tackle, I wouldn't be up in arms about that.
I wonder if you're going to be able to keep that energy throughout the entire draft season. And I don't mean it in like a negative way. I just mean like we're kind of quarterback thirsty right now. As you get into it and as Russ is off the scene.
Deshaun Watson, I've been told by somebody recently, he is not waving the no-trade clause to Carolina.
Is Aaron Rodgers goes
Aaron
somewhere
Rodgers
else.
Not coming in.
So once those guys, and you're really looking at, do you want to sign Marcus Mariota? Or do you want to sign like...
If Minnesota moves on from Kirk Cousins.
Yes, which I know people keep pointing to. I don't think that's going to happen, although I'll tell you, I'd rather watch Kirk Cousins than I would watch another season of Sam Darnold.
I agree with that.
I think the draft.
Jimmy Garoppolo could be on the move.
I think the draft is going to be the only place that you actually get an opportunity, given your already what you've already spent draft collateral and financial commitment.
Financially, they can't afford to go.
To both Teddy and Sam.
Yep.
And so, I don't think a fourth round pick moves the needle. I don't think a fifth round pick moves the needle. If you're going to try and come back, and this is under the assumption that Cam Newton doesn't earn the right to vie for the starting job next year with the final five games, which is a premature assumption by me. But if you're going to do that, then I think you are going to have to seriously consider one of these quarterbacks, whether that is you trade down out of 10
and whatever
you pick up a second round pick and that's where you get the guy, whether you trade out of 10 and with that 18th pick take one of these guys. But I think Steven Ruiz said something. They've painted themselves into a corner with the quarterback position. You cannot go with another stopgap without a long-term solution also on the roster. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you have a 7-year contract or a 15-year contract. You don't get too many quarterbacks in the NFL, and you bleep and sure don't get a lot of stopgap quarterbacks in the NFL. That's what Rex Ryan found out in Buffalo. It's what go through any of the coaches who are good, average, however, even great coaches. Bill Belichick in Cleveland, his first go-round, you don't get a lot of runs with just stopgap average quarterbacks. Somebody's saying Daniel Jones. Guys, stop that bleep.
No, we're not.
We've already had him. His name's Sam Darnold.
We're not doing that. Look, they're in a tough spot. They really need to get a quarterback on a rookie deal. Just they don't have the money to bring back the pieces they need to bring back and go get of the quality that we need here in Carolina. And so I don't know if this is going to get better. I can see them taking a mid-round flyer on somebody and then in some combination of Sam Darnold and Cam Newton fighting it out, but you still got to pay Cam.
Mm-hmm.
If he's going to be a starter for another season, you're going to have to give him a one-year deal at real money. And I'm not talking about something crazy like, you know, 40 a year, but you're going to have to give him, you know, $12, $14 million a year, so if not more. So it's like they're in a spot where they kind of got to roll with Sam Darnold and get a rookie in here. I don't know what other option, because I don't think it's going to be realistic for them. You want Tyrod Taylor? Well, isn't that kind of the same as Teddy Bridgewater?
Well, and I think that's where we talk about the stopgap quarterback. And I think what's going to be tough for this, Stan, is you've gone and done the safe quarterback route. And you've gone and done the risky quarterback route. Well, this year, this draft is going to be 100% that argument. Because Kenny Pickett is one of the safer guys. Like, in terms of the difference between his ceiling and his floor. He's probably not going to be a guy that's an absolute bust unless you overdraft him. He's probably also not going to be a superstar. His ceiling's maybe Kirk Cousins on his best day. Maybe. But then you got a guy like Malik Willis. And I think there's a lot of, and I say this not because it's a one-for-one. I think there are a lot of Josh Allen types in this draft. And when I say that, I'm not saying they're not 6'5", 260 pounds. I'm talking about who Josh Allen was coming out of Wyoming. Josh Allen was one of the most raw quarterback prospects we've ever seen.
With elite arm talent elite mobility and elite size.
Yes, but I'm talking about the level of his rawness. I think there are a lot of guys with a lot of upside. We've mentioned the two Maliks. So there's a lot of guys.
They're little.
Kyler Murray's little. I can't continue to do this.
They're not Kyler Murray.
They're.
Can we
Lamar
admit,
is little.
Can we admit?
Lamar is little, smaller than Josh Allen.
But they're not Lamar.
So
that's what I'm saying.
So this is less about any of the Maliks. It is either you've got a physically average-ish quarterback, Kenny Pickett, Sam Howell, or with limited upsides, right? Which doesn't win in the NFL. That's what Cleveland's going through with Baker Mayfield. Or do you bet it all on your coaching staff that they're going to get one of these high, incredibly raw, high upside guys with some incendiary talent the chance to go ahead and see if you can develop them? That's a process, too.
Do you trust this group to develop a young quarterback? They can't get a veteran to play consistently well.
It doesn't matter. They don't have a chance. They don't have a choice. 704-570-9610. Does Kenny Pickett as a Panther do anything for you? Will you be watching the ACC title game this weekend at Bank of America Stadium and scouting? Old ticket for Pickett, Kenny Pickett. But as we continue on the conversation, we go from the losing team in town to the winning team in town, at least not recent. Well, except not recently. Sports Radio FNC.
Behind every box score, there are little windows you have to open and climb through. And behind it, you will see a team going back to some bad defensive habits in a three-game losing streak that we had discussed those habits were not existing when they went 8-1. So that's one area of concern.
Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfolie. That was legendary Charlotte sports talk show host Jerry V, on with the Mac Attack earlier this weekend, or earlier this week, talking about the Hornets and how and why they have lost three straight games. With that loss to Milwaukee, they've gone from the sixth seed to the ninth seed. And I think Jerry V is right. You know, you talk about habits. Those don't really mean anything to people just listening.
Now, people have habits.
Well, no. I'm talking specific to basketball. Unless you are a basketball aficionado, unless you watch a lot of basketball.
Yeah, you got to get into the minute details.
Good habits, bad habits. It's just kind of a general concept. But the reality is, this is the toughest part of James Borrego's job, is teaching. Previously, when it was Miles Bridges, when it was PJ, even Malik Monk, and it was Devontae Graham, when it was just a bunch of young kids with nothing to play for, he had the ultimate hook. I can yank your playing time. You can't really do that now. Like, you can adjust playing time, but he's not going to bench LaMelo. He's not going to bench Miles. He's not going to bench Gordon. He's not going to bench Terry Rozier. Like, you've gotten to a point where this next step the Hornets are going to take, it's a real process going from a team that is the plucky upstart with nothing really to win or lose to a team that is trying to win every single night in the NBA. And I'll be honest with you, it's not fun to watch, but this is 100%. Young teams have to lose the way they lost to Houston to learn how to not lose like that again.
We keep saying that. This team ain't that young. Like, when you look at Gordon, Terry, when Mason is on the floor, this team isn't that young. They got dudes that have been out there. So I personally don't go with the, this is a young team. I'm not buying it.
Okay.
I think we talk about the Carolina Panthers. Bye week came at a good time. Hornets played on Wednesday night. Third loss in a row, as you mentioned. They don't play again until Sunday. They need this little break. I think there's some practice time in there. That they need to watch the tape and get on the floor and really talk through what JB can teach. I still think JB is in the teaching mode, but then the veterans know the stuff. It's trying to get some of the younger guys to get them on board. I just look at the simple facts of the philosophy of this team, and it's not what JB wants. He's told us this. JB would prefer they play better defense. But their offense has become their defense. The Charlotte Hornets in the Eastern Conference are giving up the most points in the Eastern Conference. They're also scoring the most points of anyone in the Eastern Conference.
Where we are this season, though, I'll be honest with you. I think the defense thing is about habits and about effort. It's not about their true ceiling. This is one of the reasons why I'm not – there are two – I'll give you the second reason as we continue this talk about why I'm not as concerned about the three-game losing streak as I was maybe what we saw with the West Coast trip.
The five-game losing streak.
To start with this, I think they can play not just good defense. I think they can play really, really good defense.
James Borrego has said that. He said, I've seen my guys lock in on that end.
So this is about learning those habits, and that takes time because I do think of them as a young team. So is it frustrating to watch? Is it, like, specifically that Houston loss? It's the most frustrating loss in the world, 100%. And Jerry V's right. This December is really the month. December and January are where you have to start practicing those good habits because the season can get away from you very quickly. But I think where they are, you combine that with the fact that I don't really lump every one of the three losses that they're in, the last three losses, I don't feel like each one is, outside of the defense with the first two, is incredibly related. I'm not as concerned about this losing streak. This one feels a little bit different. It's not acceptable, but it doesn't feel as unacceptable as what happened out West, where you were at points non-competitive.
I am concerned. James Borrego told us on this program, you and I, he said, I asked him, how do you break up the schedule, JB? He says, get me to the first 25 games. They're at 24.
Mm-hmm.
Hornets are 13-11, currently sitting ninth place in the Eastern Conference. He says, then I break it up in increments of 10. They're about to go. They're going to come back for a little bit. Actually, they're in Atlanta Sunday. And then they come back. And there's another road trip coming up here. They got to go back out west starting Monday, December 13th. So if they don't get some wins here pretty soon, and this is a pretty challenging, these next 10 games, I mean, I see Utah, and there's Phoenix, and, you know, Portland, and Dallas, and Philly twice, and there's, you know, Atlanta. They better get this together. And I personally don't believe, like, when I watch them play defensively, who do you look out there and go, oh, that person's loafing? That person's not putting forth. I don't see loafs on the floor.
No.
I'm not saying that. I'm asking
effort
rhetorically.
Effort is different. When we say effort, we're talking focus, concentration, things like closing out properly. Because when you don't have a rim protector, that is exactly where I was going. Well, but that is the push and pull. Is you can protect the rim without a rim protector, but it requires everybody to be on the same page and communicating, and that's where the collapse outs are hurting them.
And that's where I think this practice time could help, and that's where I lean on those veterans. I do believe this team plays their best defense when Mason Plumlee's out there and when James Borrego knows he can bring Cody Martin off the bench.
I think that's the third reason. I'm adding a third reason now. Mm-hmm. Why the three-game losing streak. Like, it bothers me. I'm not trying to say it doesn't matter. Nah, Every losing streak does matter. But I think if you have one more of those games, like, or one more of those guys back, especially Mason Plumlee, with what he gives you against Milwaukee, I think that gives you a real chance of winning what was a close game. And I think as you get those guys back, that to me is the biggest benefit of not playing from Wednesday to Sunday, is you get closer to getting those two guys back. And I think they're okay. Like, I really think sometimes we just expect, all right, now you're talented, now you must be better. This is the one time where I think we're okay to say it's a process. Learning to win basketball in the NBA, when as an organization you haven't for 20 years, that is a process. And you know, you're right to point out Gordon, and you're right to point out Terry, and you're right to point out, do you say Mason Plumlee?
I mean, Kelly Oubre's played a lot of basketball.
But you have a defensive problem, and your player with the highest upside, LaMelo Ball, is still learning what it's like to play organized, structured team defense in the NBA. Even go and that's year two in the NBA. That's going to be a process that takes another year and a half, 2 years before we can get him where he truly needs to be.
That's one dude. What about the other guys on the floor?
That's the most important. When you have to play team defense, you are as strong as your weakest link, and LaMelo is a weak link in some possessions.
You may be on to something here, and maybe that's just it. Maybe this team defense won't improve until, yes, we get a rim protector. But maybe it's also Melo being on the floor. Now, he's excellent in the passing lanes. We know he steals the ball, all of that. But this bottom line is, 1, 2, 3, this is the fourth worst team in the NBA in defensive efficiency. You have to do something. I don't see an issue with Terry's defense. I don't see an issue with Miles Bridges' defense. Kelly Oubre, Cody Martin, we've talked about. I thought Mace has been serviceable. There's some time that he's just outmanned. Mm-hmm. If you're going up against Sabonis and Miles Turner at the same time, you're going to take some lumps.
Yeah.
All right, going against Joel Embiid, you're going to take some lumps. But you might have just hit where this is. Maybe this is about LaMelo being the, air quote, weakest link.
Well, and I think the way of saying it is not like LaMelo does try really hard. And LaMelo has a phenomenal raw basketball IQ. But there's a difference between knowing something in theory and knowing how to practice it.
Let me jump in right there. I think LaMelo has unbelievable offensive instincts.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Like, just because you have instincts and awareness on the offensive end of the floor doesn't mean that same skill set translates to the other end of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
There are times that I think Melo gets lost when the ball is moving.
Oh, you see
it. And he just... his rotations are not where they need to be.
Itty bitty fitty, I know you are a basketball aficionado. You're chomping at the bit here. What do you have?
Do you think with LaMelo's limitations, the best way to hide him is play your zone defense that you're allowed to play in the NBA?
I don't think you should hide him. I know this is going to be an unpopular take. This isn't Steph Curry. When Steph was really young, right as he was starting to win MVPs, where Steph was just getting abused because guys were bigger, faster, stronger, more agile, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. This isn't that hiding. He just needs reps. He just, listen, you might have had a better chance to win games like that Milwaukee game if defensively he's off the court at the end of the game. But long term, your best chance to win is LaMelo learns. And the only way you win in the NBA, practice, you can't practice the final 2 minutes and how to play proper defense. You can't practice that emotion. You can't practice the situational awareness. Not to the level you need to. I don't think you hide LaMelo, because I think that's a short-term fix that might elongate your long-term problem.
I'm with Fitty. I think there are certain points in the game that James Borrego is going to have to identify, just given the ebbs and flows of that particular matchup that night. Yeah, let's go. And we saw him do it last year when the bodies were out and at times they had to play small, injuries, Cody Zeller, like they had to go to his own. It was the best chance they had.
I don't think LaMelo's defense is going to hold you back from a top six playoff spot. I don't. I think it's been magnified the last three games because of the absence of two of your best defenders. So I think it's a little bit, I understand it's frustrating. I understand. I look at LaMelo's defensive future in the same way that I do his overall future and the process with the Hornets. Like, being family isn't easy all the time. Learning to win basketball isn't easy all the time. And I think it might be a little bit sink or swim, but I think you're trying to see, I think the next 20 games are about how up to snuff can we get LaMelo in these late game defensive situations, in just team defense in general. And then if we start to get to the home stretch, if we're near the All-Star break, or if we're near the March 1st deadline to sign veterans off the buyout market, that's right around the time where I think you start to pepper in zone or start to, and I'm going to use this in quotations, mitigate LaMelo's defensive lapses. I think you're putting a lot of emphasis on the season right now. This is when you learn in the NBA. Is the time where you have to learn how to practice those winning habits Borrego's talked about and everybody else has.
Well, I think you have to learn the habits while also being competitive and not losing 3 and 4 and 5 games in a row. Like, you have to be showing progress. How long have we been we've been talking about defense on this team for 2 years.
Well, yeah.
But at some point.
But they had shown progress. They were 8-1 in that defensive stretch.
They are the fourth worst team in defensive efficiency in the league. I get it. There's been injuries. And yes, they have shown on certain nights. Here's my concern with this team. On nights, stop me if you heard this before. On nights where the ball doesn't go in, they can't win any other way. Mm-hmm. If you ask championship teams, you've seen them up close. You have to be able to win certain games on the defensive end to get fast break opportunities and to get to the foul line. You have to manufacture offense by allowing your defense to bail you out.
Timeline on this matters to me, because what you're talking about is fair. But there was a year, I want to say it was the year they won the championship, where Cleveland went from the 20th worst defensive efficiency rating in the NBA with like 60 games to go, and the final 20 games of the season, they got in the top 10.
And they had, who was on that team?
Well, no, that's fair, but I think the point is, that was it took 20 games to turn that around.
With
I think you dudes. Have, yes, but I think here, considering I think a lot of the defensive issues and efficiency issues are based off LaMelo, play through it. You've got time, and you do have time. Like, other teams aren't playing hard in the NBA consistently. They don't start most, like, the teams that we worry about, right? Right? Even teams like Boston or New York or, like, teams with superstars.
Golden State, number one in defensive efficiency. Phoenix, number two.
704-570-9610. Hornets have lost 3 straight games. They get back to it at Atlanta on Sunday. What is the fix defensively for the Charlotte Hornets? The Gold Brick Ceremony next on Sports Radio FNZ. Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet, Panthers bye week blues. Well, we got Trey Boston to talk about the Carolina Panthers coming up in about 20 minutes here. But it is time for the Gold Brick Ceremony for this week in honor of the WFNZ legend that is Jim Salania. It's been a minute since Salania's called. Hope everything's well there, Jim. We're going to give you the 4 best moments from the show this week. And at the end of this segment, we're going to let you vote on them at WFNZ. We will bequeath the award after the final rendition of the Hack song coming up at 1:45. But Stan, we start by following Lincoln Riley's departure from Oklahoma to USC. Riley,
he got emotional
at the decision to leave for Norman, and I felt some sort of way at the expense of Lincoln Riley. And you know what he should do? He should hit Boomer Sooners with a Bag Elma.
No.
A little bit of DX crotch chop on the way out.
You are... The man went through an emotional decision-making process with his family. His family, they are being displaced
from
their roots in Oklahoma.
I literally left my hometown, my dream job that I got, and I was so blessed to be on the air in Cleveland. I left my hometown, and mm-hmm. Did I make sure to tell everyone I loved him? Did I make sure to say, hey, guys, I'm able to continue to succeed and thrive moving on? Because of you guys and your support? Yes. Did I sit there going, you know, nobody else could have hosted these 5 hours with me the way you guys did? And by the way, guys, I wasn't walking on to $110 million. Spoiler there by the end that I'm not making $110 million now. Just so you guys know.
You are a soulless, heartless, evil man
mm-hmm.
that has no empathy
mm-hmm.
for other people's transition in life.
Okay.
And so, you mask it by the amount of money somebody's being paid.
So right now, if I announced that Nick Wilson was heading off to host the Lincoln Riley show on USC Sports Talk Show Radio, and I just, you know, last 3 years of my life have been so special, and my family has come together in Charlotte, you're not saying you wouldn't roast me just a little bit?
Well, because you have a personality of being a D.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
So it would not land the same way. Lincoln Riley's, from what we understand, is not necessarily a D, so it would be believable for him.
So you're just not assuming that he's a chotch?
I have reason to believe that he is not.
That's chotch.
We have every reason to believe that you won't.
We're in the middle of a pandemic, and we've had people with all awful life experiences, out of work, out of this, out of that.
It's not just the money, Nick.
Yeah, You spent 5 years there.
Stop
I'm
it.
Sorry.
He became a coaching legend there.
No, he didn't. No. He lost a couple of playoff games. Take your $110 million and shut the hell up,
Lincoln
Riley.
You are so insensitive.
Number two.
Following making fun of one aforementioned Lincoln Riley, we didn't stop there. Of course, we mocked the schmuck himself, Matt Rhule, in a hypothetical scenario of him denying college jobs to remain with the Carolina Panthers.
You know, guys, I just want to say that my family and I, we respect the Panther so, so much. In the last 28 games have been one of the true highlights of my life. And I don't even want to go to Oklahoma for $110 million. You know, I would stay, but, you know, it just makes more sense. And I just really, you know, thank you to Dave Tepper. And I'm going to keep pounding for the rest of my life.
I don't think Matt Rhule's going to be leaving the Carolina Panthers for a college job. I don't think the Oklahoma thing's going to make sense. Stephen Gottfried of Braden Gall's co-host on one of his podcasts had commented that it doesn't look like there's any smoke to that. But I would pay $63 million to be in a room with Dave Tepper and Matt Rhule, where Matt Rhule, after 28 games in Carolina, looks Big Tep in the eye and says, you know what? I love the money. Love the opportunity you afforded me. I think I'm going to go be with Oklahoma. Priceless. The reaction that Dave Tepper would have to that is priceless, Stannis.
If Matt Rhule were to bounce for Oklahoma, do you know Oklahoma is going to pay him more than Matt Rhule, than David Tepper
I would assume
would pay
that,
him
yeah.
here?
Yeah. I haven't done the cost of living calculator, though, to see whether he'd be truly making more money.
I'm going
to
presume that Norman, Oklahoma, slightly less expensive than living in Charlotte, North Carolina.
That's probably a fair assumption to make.
All right. So, no, Matt Rhule's going to be the Carolina Panthers head coach for the rest of this season. I'm wondering, we need to bookmark this moment. Will Matt Rhule regret not jumping off the ship this time next year? In the last 2 years, look at the power football jobs that have become open. What's the best possible job that could come open next year? Miami? Florida State?
I mean, there is the ever-evolving when will Nick Saban retire? The man's 70 years old. Well, but I think but that is a legitimate job that could be open. Ryan Day could want to go to the NFL. There are...
Ryan Day's not leaving Ohio State 3 years in.
I'm saying he could want to go to the NFL. And I thought Braden Gall had a great point on this when we talked with him at 10:40 today, because he said he thinks more guys are going to start making the jump from college. And rather than guys going from the pros to the college, he's going to see more guys making the jump because the lifestyle change in college, it's no longer the more relaxing lifestyle.
I was talking to the people from the ACC last night, and they were just giving me some intel on the coaches. This is a lot. We saw Bronco Mendenhall tap out. Now, I don't know that it's related to this. He said it's personal matter. But it's just the work day of a college coach right now, even for the money. NFL lifestyle is just easier.
I'm just going to tell you right now, anybody wants to pay me $110 million to go talk to people and try and win football games, I will do it. I won't win. I will not succeed. But I will at least try valiantly.
We're going to stop this right here. Would you hire me and Itty Bitty Fitty on your staff if you got a college job?
Yeah, they're grad assistant jobs.
By Goldman to you.
What? Itty-bitty, you got to start somewhere. You're trying to.
We can't even get a coordinator position? No. Position coach?
I mean, at least position coach.
You guys are ridiculously like. Talk about privilege. You guys think you're just privileged to become my coordinators?
Yeah, I'm the Joe Brady of board ops. That's I should at least be a position be coach.
Well, yeah, but the Joe Brady of board op translates into the NFL as guy who gets me coffee in the morning. Or into the college game.
No chance I'm hiring you two if I get a job.
I don't think I'd want to work for you.
I don't want to do radio with you.
I think you would hire one of us
Randolph.
Just to walk around to try and tell you how great you think you are.
Yeah, it'd be fitty. I wouldn't want to deal with your bleep.
Number three.
Following Duke's loss to Ohio State, Coach K said that the Blue Devils were at the end of their energy cycle, which led us, the show, to question if Coach K is spending time with Matt Rhule.
It's like a cycle. It's like a cycle of energy, man.
Has he been hanging with Matt Rhule?
It's been a cycle of energy, and you see the cycle begins, and then cycles in the middle. It's like the sun. You ever seen this? No, you ever seen the moon? It's like a crescent. And it's like a little sliver.
He was one puff away from Hakuna Matata. Like, I thought it was going to come out at any given moment.
What's your cycle?
Coach K, maybe he's just getting it all out of his system. Hey, guys, farewell tour. I'm just going to say bleep because that's just where I'm at, and I've earned the right to just be able to say stuff. Energy cycle? What is he talking about?
Listen, the moon was in retrograde. I can say that word. The moon was in retrograde.
Okay.
Mercury was out past Uranus, and it was just...
Sagittarius?
The planets were not in line.
Constellation Gemini? What are we doing
guys,
here?
Everybody knows Duke plays its best basketball
when there's a good
when
energy...
Mars is in retrograde.
Oh, when there's a good energy cycle flow.
Yeah. No, guys, this is simple. It's basketball 101.
Don't
all right,
worry.
Read the stars. Read the stars, and I'll tell you whether Duke can win or not.
I just don't understand.
Call me now for your free consultation. That was Miss Cleo, by the way. Don't know if anybody remembers that crazy lady.
Number four.
There was an NFL mock draft that had the Carolina Panthers selecting Pitt quarterback Kenny Pickett, which if that were to happen, Nick and David Tepper would end up revealing themselves. Well, kind of.
Kenny Pickett with the 10th pick. I might have to go shirtless challenging Dave Tepper. Dave! Dave!
If you go Dave, man nip, and chest hair fully exposed.
Yeah. Me and Tep are either fighting or he's buying me a yacht. Those are the two outcomes of aggressively challenging Dave Tepper while being shirtless. I just got to be honest with you. I'm terrified about this weekend.
What do you mean?
I'm terrified. I saw the way that Dave Tepper looked at Cam Newton when Cam Newton scored that touchdown and ran the ball to the 50-yard line. There is no one quarterback hornier in the city, in the Queen City, than Dave Tepper. And if Kenny Pickett goes out there, bloop, throws what puts four into the end zone and looks up at the press box and winks at Mr. Tepper.
Gives him the money Manziel sign.
He's going to give him 50% of his assets. He's going to give him 50% of his bleep. That's what he's going to do. No prenup for Kenny Pickett. That's what Tep will do.
You know Tep is just, I mean, the pressure. He's going to have his Pittsburgh other billionaire homies hanging in the suite with him, and they're just going to be oozing and on about Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett can make himself some money on Saturday.
Please don't, Kenny. Throw, you see those guys in the other uniforms? Throw a couple to those guys. It's, and the thing is, it's less about Kenny Pickett. And it really just gets back to the fact of, I don't trust these knuckleheads to pick out the right quarterback. They were sus when they took Teddy Bridgewater. I was infuriated at the Sam Darnold thing. And now I'm caught between give Cam Newton more money, despite not really knowing whether that shoulder can hold up for 17 games, taking one of these guys with a top 10 pick, or bringing back Sam Darnold. And I don't, hey, it's Darnold versus Mariota.
It's a bad scenario, man. I'm fascinated by what they're going to do. But we got to get out of 21 before we start thinking about 22.
Have we consulted their energy cycle? Nope. This is what it is. The Panthers' quarterback energy cycle is at its like slightest. So that means we're about to get another Cam Newton.
So
but not
Panthers,
this Cam Newton, a new Cam Newton.
Panthers' quarterback woes won't be solved until there's a full blood moon.
Mm-hmm. There's got to be a full blood moon, and you've got to be able to see the North Star 10 degrees off where we normally see it.
So now we're waiting on the three wise men.
If there's a supernova from a galaxy 2,000 light years away exploding, that's when you know, take that quarterback, take that shot, even if it's Sam Darnold 3.0. All right. We've got crying, college, energy, or picket. We're going to put that up at WFNZ and let you guys vote on which was the best moment from the show this week. It could be. The next great moment for the show this week could be coming up next, though, as Trey Boston, longtime Panther and UNC Tar Heel, joins us to break down the Panthers heading into the bye.